Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome you to worship this morning as we gather to sing praises to our great and triune God. Hopefully each of you has a worship bulletin to follow along in our liturgy this morning. I do want to call your attention to the connection card, which is in the chair pocket in front of you, and ask if you would fill that out. You can drop that in the offering plate as that comes by later on during the service. And there's a place for you to write down any prayer requests that you may have, as well as to respond to any of the announcements that are in the bulletin. And so a couple announcements to highlight. As you are most likely already aware, our session has requested that each member of this church get into a prayer group and of consisting of about 4 to 8 people. And at this point, everyone should be in a prayer group. And we're asking that these groups meet at least once a week during the season of Lent, and that begins this Wednesday. And so if you are not in a prayer group, I believe there's some instructions in the bulletin of things that you can do if you need some help with that. And then also to once again notify you of our spring picnic, which is coming up on March the 15th, and that'll be from 5 to 7 p.m., and if you would like to RSVP, we certainly would welcome that now. And also, we're looking for some volunteers to help out with various tasks to make that a successful event. And then today is the last day for you to make any updates or changes to our upcoming church directory. And we have a binder that's out on the welcome desk in the lobby. And if you can find your information in there, make any needed changes or just initial next to your name, if everything is correct, and that would be appreciated. And also, there's a little green insert in your bulletin. And next Sunday begins a new quarter for Sunday school classes. And so this insert notifies you of the two adult classes that are being offered starting next Sunday, and as well as the middle school and high school age classes. So other than that, if you have any electronic devices, I would ask if you would turn them off or put them in the mute or vibrate mode. And if you would stand for our call to worship this morning, as God's word calls us to worship. This is a responsive reading from 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done.
Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts.
Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Amen. Would you open up your hymnals to number 53? Let's glorify the Lord. Father, you indeed are God, and you are good. Our confidence, our hope, our joy is in you, the Ancient of Days. We glorify your holy name. We come humbly and reverently to seek your face and your strength this morning. And so we ask that you would draw near to us, that you would receive our worship. For we approach you through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit. You are one God now and forever. Amen. Well, if you profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, following along in your bulletin, Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Be seated. Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verses 9 through 14. I kept looking until the thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His vesture was like white snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was ablaze with flames. Its wheels were a burning fire, and a river of fire was flowing and coming out before him. Thousands upon thousands were attending him, and myriads upon myriads were standing before him. The court sat, the books were opened. And then I kept looking because of the sound of the boastful words which the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body was destroyed and given to the burning fire. As for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, but an extension of life was granted to them for an appointed period of time. I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We come now to a time of confessional prayer. I invite you to bow your heads as we look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, indeed, you are holy, and we are not. We are sinners who struggle with unbelief, ingratitude, with self-centeredness. And so, Father, we ask that you would help us to love and to fear you properly, with reverence and awe, and with joyful expectation. Too often we make excuses for our sin rather than humbly confessing and repenting. And so, Father, as we call out to your holy name, would you soften our hearts? Would you enable us to acknowledge and humbly repent of our sins? Would you open up our eyes to see our beautiful Savior Jesus, that we may find refuge in him? And so, Father, in this brief time of silence, would you receive our silent prayers of confession? Father, would you hear us as we all pray together? Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry. We humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your name, amen. Our assurance of pardon this morning comes from Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. And the Apostle Paul writes, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers, or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, once again, we approach your throne of grace. And it's all a mystery to us, Lord, that you would entertain sinners before your throne, before your presence. And yet you, O Lord our God, have made us clean. You have wiped out our sins. You have shown us your mercy and grace, which is everlasting. And you've made us sons and daughters of you, the living God. as a result of the finished work and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we praise you today for the opportunity to worship you, to have our sins forgiven afresh and anew. Lord, also to put our requests before you. Father, we pray for our world as you taught us through the Apostle Paul and the pastoral epistles. We ask that you would be with those who lead in high office, that, Lord, you would give these men and women wisdom beyond their years and help them to lead as they ought, with justice, with equity. Father, we pray for ourselves that we would be good citizens, that we would be salt and light in a world that is putrid with sin, in a world that is walking in darkness without Christ. Father, help us to humble ourselves and to give ourselves to being witnesses for Jesus to all we come in contact with. We pray, Lord, for our country. We pray for our state of Florida, for our city of Tampa. Lord, we ask again that you would make us to be good citizens. Help us to love, and most of all, to extend the gospel. Father, we pray for our church's ministries. We ask, Lord, that you would strengthen us and encourage us in the future. We pray specifically for a Spanish pastor. Lord, we look at the vast number of Hispanic-speaking peoples, and we can't help but think that you would desire to reach them with the gospel. And so, Lord, we pray, encourage us. Encourage us with prayers. Encourage us with additional staff. Encourage us, Lord, as we seek to give and we seek to be a part of what you might be doing here in Tampa and at Christ Central. Father, we pray for those who suffer with illness. Lord, indeed, we pray for our world as the coronavirus continues to take lives and make so many sick. Father, we pray that you would bring this to a halt, and that, Lord, you would preserve life, and that men and women, boys and girls, in light of this tragedy, would look up to heaven and perhaps see this as an opportunity to acknowledge the living God, who is Lord of the living and the dead, who is the great physician. Father, we pray for healing and we pray for preservation of life. We also pray, Lord, for those in our midst who are sick or recovering from illness or surgery. We continue to pray for Brian Waugh and Paige Hawes as they both recover from surgery. We pray for Brian Tonis, Lord, that you would give him an accurate diagnosis to the health difficulties that he has suffered lately. We also remember Dave and Pat Barden and Mercedes Kirk and Ron Quick Sr., Judy Smith, Alan Dostal, Frank and Connie Frail, and St. Claude McDonald. Father, be with all of these precious individuals and their families. Pour out your kindness upon them. And we pray that you would answer their needs as you define them, that you would bless them with healing. We also pray for those who are confined away from us, like Mike Cawley and Augustina Livesey, Ron Quick Jr. and Lee Zambon. And Father, we pray for others like Evelyn Jackson and Michelle Lambers and their pregnancies. We pray for Stephanie Coaster, Becky Yu, Kathy Huffman, Stuart Hickerson. We pray for Bruno Gravanti, Lana Schwartz, Mrs. Laura Cameron, and Lenore Ball. Father, we pray that you would work in these lives, that you would bring forth your good and pleasing and perfect will for each one of them, that you would bless them this day. Those who are sick, heal them. Those who are lonely, keep them company. Provide for all of their needs, Lord, according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Father, we also pray for our missionaries this morning. We think of Don and Leah Vanderplug, Rodney and Jana Davila, Dave and Paige Hawes, Andrew Newman, and Steve Light. Father, we also pray for SIEATN in South Florida and Haiti and B. Kirk at St. Joseph's Hospital. Father, be with all these precious servants of yours. Use them for your glory. Further their ministries so that they might glorify you with the gospel. Now, Father, I pray as an under-shepherd of yours that you would bless each one of us as we continue in this worship hour. I pray, Father, that you would quicken our hearts to hear of eternal things, and that you would speak to our hearts and our minds through your word. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory for what you will do in every one of us and in our families. And we make our prayer confidently now in Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray many years ago, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our third scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, the first five verses, and then skipping ahead to verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, I invite you to stand as we sing our offertory hymn, number 146. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we do give you thanks. You are patient with us. You are loving and merciful and gracious. You provide all that we need to love and to glorify you. And so as an act of worship, we bring to you our tithes as well as our offerings. We ask that you would use these gifts to help the needy, to make disciples, and to expand your kingdom throughout Tampa and the whole world. Of course, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
Let's stand in honor of our King. Please be seated. And as you take your seat, you can turn with me in your copy of the Word of God to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We're in a series of messages through Paul's letter to the Colossians, and we find ourselves this morning in chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. A very important passage, often called the Christ Song, as Paul takes the time in these verses to outline the priority and the supremacy of Jesus Christ, all that he is and all that he means to believers. And this is a very important passage because of the context. In Colossae, you remember in the introductory message that they were riddled with false teachers who espoused a form of Greek philosophy, but also a form of Jewish legalism. And it got mixed together so that many people lost contact with the head who is Christ. And they began to see other philosophies and other teachings that went beyond the gospel of God's grace and salvation in Christ alone. And so Paul is going to take these very, very packed verses and outline for us two things, I believe. Two things this morning. Number one, that Christ is the Lord of all creation. Christ is the Lord of creation. And we'll see that in verses 15 through 17. And then secondly, that Christ is the Lord of redemption. The Lord of redemption, and we'll see that in verses 18 and 19 and 20. He's the Lord of creation and the Lord of redemption. And so with an outline of the message this morning, join me in prayer and let's ask God to bless our time of study together. Heavenly Father, I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, we wish to see Jesus and Him only. We wish to give You and You alone all the glory for all that You do in our lives through Your powerful, inerrant, and holy Word. And so, Lord, bless our time of study together. We devote it to You now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, first of all, notice, as Paul outlines here, the fact that Jesus is Lord of creation. Jesus is Lord of creation. And he does this by raising three characteristics of Jesus as the Son of God. First of all, his supreme position. Look at verse 15. Paul says, He, that is Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Paul is saying the very nature and character of God have been perfectly revealed in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The invisible has become visible. In fact, we read somewhat of this in our gospel or third reading this morning from John's Gospel, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The writer of Hebrews says something similar in chapter 1, verse 3. He, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact imprint of His nature. From all eternity, Jesus in His very nature has been and is the image of Almighty God in perfection. In fact, John 1:18 says, No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, that is, the only begotten Son, has made Him known. In the Old Testament, you could never see God and live. But under the new covenant in Christ Jesus, all that the Father is in terms of His glory, the glory of deity, Jesus Christ came and clothed in human flesh, demonstrated to us the very presence, the very image, and all the perfections of Almighty God. He is the image of the invisible God. And notice in verse 15, he goes on to say, the firstborn of all creation. Now, in the Old Testament, that word firstborn occurs about 130 times to describe one who is supreme and first in time. It also refers to one who has a special place before God. For example, in Exodus 4:22, he calls Israel my firstborn son. It's not first in a series. That's not the meaning here. Jesus is not first of all the created beings because he is the one whom the whole creation came into being. He brought it into being. He is the very instrument of creation. That's why Hebrews 1:6 says, when he, the Father, brings the firstborn, that is the Son, Christ, into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. Jesus is prior to and supreme over all the created order. Now, not only his supreme position, but notice secondly, his sovereign control. Look at verse 16 with me. First of all, he says, for by him all things were created. Christ is clearly not part of the creation itself, since all things have been made by him. God is creator, while by him points to Christ as the instrument of creation. Paul is thinking of the words from Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so the Lord God Almighty created all things through Christ Jesus, just like it says in John 1. And then secondly, notice Christ's sovereign control includes every sphere or every realm. All things were created. Notice the material realm in the first part of verse 16. Both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Paul is saying that there's no part of the created order which exists autonomously apart from Christ. All things were created by Jesus Christ. But not just the material realm, also the spiritual realm. He goes on to say whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. Paul stresses that even the spiritual powers and authorities, whether good or evil, are all subject to Christ as creator. Now, this is very important for the Colossians, because later on in the book, I believe in chapter 2, Paul is going to be teaching them that they don't have to worry about the powers that would be out there. Part of the problem in Colossae is that you had these enlightened teachers who would run around and basically saying, I have the secret knowledge. I know how to deal with the powers that are out there, that are evil. In fact, the book of Jude and the book of 2 Peter point to the fact that one of the signs of a false teacher is for their arrogance to claim superiority over those unseen forces in the spiritual realm. Be careful when you hear somebody exercise what they consider authority over spiritual beings, over Satan, over demons. It's not necessary. Why? Because Christ is the head over all these things. All things, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, good and bad, all of these exist for Christ. They were brought into being by him. All things, Paul finishes in verse 6, have been created through him and for him. That's an amazing phrase. Everything has been created through Christ, but the one who was crucified as a common criminal is the one, oddly enough, to whom the whole creation and therefore history moves toward. You see, Christ is the agent of creation, but he's also the object of creation. Everything that is created in the realm that we can see and experience with our senses, and in the realm that we cannot see or experience, it's all marching forward to a day in history when it will be revealed that Christ indeed is Lord of everything. Well, his supreme position, his sovereign control in verse 16. Then look at verse 17. His sustaining power. He is before all things. Because Jesus exists before all things, one cannot say, as the second century heretic Arius said, quote, there was once when he was not. That's a very destructive heresy, and we see it in religious groups that claim some affinity with Christianity today, that Christ is somehow a lesser God, somehow only a prophet, somehow only this, only that, not God in flesh. But here Paul says he is before all things. I love the words of John 8:58 when Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and he says, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. He was identifying with the fact that just as Yahweh had said that in the Old Testament to Moses in Exodus 3, that the Lord Jesus was there before Abraham. He is, in fact, the living God, the perfect God-man. Hebrews 1:3 says, he, Christ, upholds the universe by the word of his power. The whole creation is established in Christ alone, and he is the sustainer of the universe. He sustains it by his word. You know, all men and women, whether they recognize it or not, are totally indebted to the Lord Jesus Christ as the creator and the sustainer. We don't think about that often. Your very next breath comes as a result of the grace of God. I was reading just yesterday about the 22-year-old midshipman at the Naval Academy up in Maryland. They went to his room, and he was a healthy young man. He was a lineman for the Naval Academy football team. Somehow or other, they found him unconscious, and he died on Thursday night about 11:28 p.m. up in Maryland. They still, I don't believe, have a diagnosis. Big, healthy, 22-year-old young man, and his life just snatched away like that. That could happen to any one of us. And if you've lived long enough, you've seen that. Well, here is Paul saying that Christ not only created all things, not only is he God in flesh, but he holds things together. I often call the Lord Jesus the epoxy of the universe. Everything is held together in him. He's the one that makes it possible for us to exercise our will. He holds the gravity that holds your feet to the ground. He furnishes the right amount of heat so that we don't freeze or bake. He gives us the right amount of air and the oxygen level that we need to breathe. He gives us food and clothing and every other good thing. Now, I'll summarize here and let's apply this for a moment. Jesus Christ is Lord of creation by virtue of his supreme position as the very revelation of God to us. His sovereign control over everything and everyone as the instrument of creation, and his sustaining power as all things are held together in him. Say, John, that's very theological. No, it's very practical. Let me show you. You see, these three characteristics of Christ correspond to three issues in the life of all human beings, and especially Christians. We think of Christ's supreme position, we have to ask the question, what about my position? You know, as sinners, we have an inclination to assure or to assume the position of God. That was the first temptation to Adam and Eve. You shall be like God. And there are many people that spend their lives running breathlessly, trying to be their own God. Their position is by virtue of the fact that they do not acknowledge that Christ sits in a supreme position over creation and over their life as well. And ladies and gentlemen, there is no peace in that kind of existence. All I can tell you is that it is utterly foolish to resist or rebel against the supremacy of the Lord God Almighty. And that's why he says, I'm opposed to the proud, but I give grace to the humble. The Bible says in Psalms, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And so here we have to say, what is my position before this great God who has made himself known in the person and work of Jesus Christ? Am I trying to be my own God? Am I ordering my life by trying to assume his position? We are not God. We are the creature. And we were created to glorify God, not ourselves. And that's the problem at the bottom of human sin. That pride that says, I will be king. I will be the one in control of my life. In fact, that leads to the second application. Not only what is our position, but the issue of our control. If Christ exercises supreme control over all things, all human beings, and all things in the created order, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. If that's true, then it's very important for us to examine ourselves and say, what do I think I'm in control of? You know, a lack of humility and trust in Christ leads to an unhealthy sense of control. We try to control everything. We try to control our environment. And we try to control the people in it, often simply to insulate and protect ourselves from pain. We want to control what goes on around us. If Christ made all things and he is in control of all things, then why do we weary ourselves trying to exercise so much control as we go through life? I hear that terminology all the time. So-and-so is a control freak. Yeah? I think there's a little bit of that in all of us. In fact, things could get worse. Some of us may have a life that is out of control. We're trapped by fear of others. We're trapped by fear of the future. We're trapped by fear of ever getting from being enslaved to substances and coping devices that we can't dismiss on our own. The truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, Christ is in control of all things. And that makes it wonderfully possible for us to let our hands off. You cannot control anything in this life, really, except your own conduct and behavior. You cannot control someone else. Not your marriage partner, not your children, not your parent. And there are so many Christians that go through life trying to control and fix somebody in their life that is making their life miserable instead of recognizing the truth that is taught here. He is in control of all things. And you can rest in that. That the Lord God is doing something, somehow, some way, in my life. And I don't have to control it. I don't have to go through life breathlessly trying to control my existence. You know, that's very important for our young people. You know, Christ made you for his glory. For his glory. And we're to live to radiate the glory of God. But we're living in a culture now that all the time wants to be in control. Control lately of my gender, for instance. I believe I should be this. I was born a male, but I believe I am female. And you see, that's the kind of activity that goes on in the human soul that does not recognize that I don't exist for my glory. God made me through the Lord Jesus Christ. And whether or not I think I'm beautiful or ugly, whether I'm tall or short, whether I feel like I should be a female or a male and I'm not, that is off limits. Because God made you. And if you look at yourself through the lens of this world, you'll always be second-guessing God whether or not he's in control. Every human being is made in the image of God, male and female. And that is a beautiful thing. And it doesn't matter what the world says about your looks, about your size, about anything in you. How much money you make, where you go to school. No. Christ is in control of all of that. Our position, our control, our power. If human beings ignore God and try to replace Him, and if they believe the fiction that somehow we're in control of our own lives and destiny, then it naturally follows that they will seek to sustain themselves, hold all things together. That's Christ's job. We go through life without Christ, you'll try to hold things together in your own strength and power. Now, some of us may be hanging on by a thread daily trying to hold things together. I'm trying to hold things together financially. I'm trying to hold things together in terms of my emotional stability. I'm trying to hold things together in terms of my family. I feel like it's falling apart, or my marriage. Once again, Christ is the one who holds all things together. And you see the beauty of this passage. It's presenting Christ in all of His glory as the supreme Son of God. And the Colossians are being led to look every other place and to every other person to find what is found only in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And that brings peace. He is fully aware of all that is happening in your world and in your life this morning. He is completely adequate to handle every possible fear you have. He is absolutely capable of holding all things together according to His perfect timing and purposes. You know, we see this in our world, don't we? We see it in the concern, I think, the obsessive concern about our environment. It's funny how we have the same people who say we've lived 5 billion years on this planet. But right now, we are responsible to hold things together. Now, we as Christians ought to have a concern for the environment. Don't hear me say something different. But you see, with Christianity, it's always balanced. We're not to be obsessed with it as if it depends on us to make sure that we don't freeze to death or burn to death. No, Christ is in control of all things. And therefore, I can live my life with peace and balance. I can be conscientious about pollution and litter and show the glory of God and His creation by being concerned about those things. But not to the point of obsession, because I know in my heart that the living God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, is in control of these things. Therefore, I can participate in the public square in a balanced manner. And that's what we need, ladies and gentlemen. We need Christians demonstrating the balance of Almighty God in the public square. We need it in politics. We need it in every other discipline. Not Christians being obnoxious to be obnoxious, but Christians demonstrating the glory of God as evidenced in Jesus Christ. His supreme position, His sovereign control over all the elements, including my life, and His sustaining power, which enables me to get up every day and to seek to live my life in a manner that demonstrates His glory so that others would come in contact with Him as well. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you embraced Him by faith? Have you asked Him to come into your life and taken the risk to see what would happen if the living God, in His Son, Christ Jesus, the only way of salvation, were to invade your life? I want to challenge you with that today. If you've never embraced Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you would find your rest in Him and see Him as the Lord of creation that the Bible presents Him here. Now, I'm going to skip the other part of my sermon. You're going to get out on time, so don't sweat it. We'll cover that next time we're together. Let's pray together. Father, Your word is so full And the Lord Jesus Christ is so sufficient. What a great Savior. What a great Creator. What a great Sustainer of our lives as He is of this universe. Lord, may we find rest and peace in that reality. May we trust You. May we hand over control to You. May we get out of the position that You and You alone should hold. May we stop trying to go through life in our own strength and power, trying to sustain and hold things together when You and You alone are the only one who can do such things. Father, I pray this morning, if there's one or two here that do not know You, that they would embrace Jesus Christ, trust Him as their Lord and Savior, and begin to live a life that demonstrates and radiates the glory of Almighty God. Lord, do these things and more. We'll give You the praise and glory. And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals to our closing hymn, number 188. We'll stand and sing verses 1 and 4 only. Just verse 1 and verse 4 only.
Receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. Amen.